So this is the time for graduations. Many local colleges are doing something different this year at their graduation ceremonies. They are granting Ukrainian President Zelensky honorary degrees. These colleges include RIT, Cuka College, Alfred, Canisius, Lemoyne, and Hobart. This is a collective recognition of Zelensky's contributions to our world. So they are honoring him at these graduation ceremonies for his dedication and his perseverance, his courage, his bravery, his integrity, his personal risk-taking, and his inspiring leadership for the whole world. This is the first time colleges have jointly offered honorary degrees to anybody. Those of you who are graduating, either here in the room or online, we congratulate you. You must feel a real sense of accomplishment. You put in a lot of hard work and discipline and money to get to where you are. You deserve to be feeling proud about what you have accomplished. And today is the Feast of the Ascension, which is a little bit like a graduation ceremony for Jesus. He must have felt good about what he accomplished in that short life of his. And instead of walking across the stage, we're told by Luke that he disappeared behind a cloud. In the previous 40 days, Jesus is appearing and disappearing. He's walking through doors, he's walking through walls. He's showing that the veil between this life and the next life is paper thin. He is no longer confined in time and space, but dwells inside us, and his work continues through us. Now, before Jesus could have an ascension, he had to have a descension. He had to go through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, before he got to the glory. Now, ask yourself honestly this question. What experiences in your life made you deep? What gave you wisdom? What gave you character? What experiences in your life made you deep? What gave you wisdom and character? Usually it's not the things that brought you glory and adulation, the times that you were the valedictorian or the star athlete or the time you won the lottery. What gave you character and depth was humiliation, powerlessness, frustration, helplessness, times of illness, failure, divorce, exclusion, loss of somebody. These are the things that brought you deep, spiritually depth. When the apostles James and John wanted to be in places of honor, Jesus asked them a question about what really makes people great. And he asked them, are you willing to drink the cup of suffering that I drink? So there is no route to Easter except through Good Friday. And there's no route to the ascension except through descension. As Jesus leaves the world, he lifts his hand and gives everybody a blessing. That's his final thing. He blesses everybody with his hand. Now, a lot of you were at the house blessing for Nielsen House last Thursday. About 100 of you were there, at least, for the blessing. That's our new home for ex-offender men coming from jail and prison. It's a three-story mansion on the west side of Rochester that houses 20 men. And during the ceremony, we heard two residents from Nielsen House talk about how the house has changed them. And then Jim Smith got up and thanked everybody for donating $275,000 to make this dream come true. And then after that, everybody lifted their right hand, and we gave the house a blessing. Reverend Myra asked God to keep it safe from intruders, from fire, and to make that place a place of hospitality and healing and miracles. It was very moving, and then Reverend Myra and Reverend Seeley went through the house and sprinkled it with holy water. So we gave that house a real blessing. In the Bible, whenever God gives a blessing to somebody, the blessing is never just for themselves. It's so that they will be a blessing for others. So the blessing is not for just you, it's so that you can go out and bless others. So when Jesus leaves the world and lifts his hand and gives us a blessing, it's not just for ourselves. It's so that we can go out and be a blessing to others. He's asking us to carry on his healing work to bless the world. Is there somebody with us? Did you ever go to a funeral and come out inspired? You hear the story of the deceased person and you marvel at their gifts. You leave the church feeling in touch with their kind and generous spirit. The funeral is like that person's last gift to us. We leave more alive, we're more free, more grateful, we feel more forgiven, ready to love and serve the people around us. And that's how the disciples felt when they left the mountain of ascension. They were excited, ready to carry on Jesus' work and mission. But they also left challenged by Jesus. Jesus is leaving, but he took one more opportunity to challenge them. I recently read an article that Matthew Fox wrote. A lot of you follow Matthew Fox, the theologian. He was thrown out of the church for being a feminist theologian, for calling God mother, and for talking about the original blessing. He writes about the world starting off with an original blessing instead of an original sin. He talks about creation, spirituality, the goodness of the earth, rather than the mistakes that Adam and Eve made, and then they had to be redeemed from those mistakes. He talks about humankind starting off beautiful rather than flawed. And because of his radical views, Cardinal Ratzinger threw Matthew Fox out of the priesthood. On Mother's Day, Fox wrote a reflection about his mother. He said, "When Cardinal Ratzinger threw me out, Mom, how was that for you, to be the mother of a priest being thrown out?" And she said, "Oh, I walk out of the church all the time. If the priest says something stupid, I get out of there." Your father and I had an agreement. Whenever I walked out of Mass, I would wait outside, and he would stay and finish the Mass. And part of the agreement was that we'd drive home and not argue about it. And Matthew said, "Well, Mom, I never heard that story before. When was the last time you walked out of church like that?" She said, "Oh, about 6 months ago." And he said, "But weren't you using a walker after your hip replacement?" She said, "Yep. That priest was preaching such nonsense that I banged that walker as hard as I could and making as much noise as I could as I left." Sister Joan Chittister said, "If you're going to stay in the church, stay loud. And if you're going to leave the church, leave loud." When Jesus left the earth on Ascension Day, he left loud. He gave a big, strong message. The disciples asked him right before he left, "Lord, is this the time, like right now, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when you're going to throw those lousy Romans out of here and give us our land back? Is this the time when you're going to make Israel great again?" And Jesus said, "No, I didn't come to make Israel great again. I came to make the whole world great. I want you to go to the ends of the earth and preach the good news. I want you to transform the whole world, not just one tiny nation." See, the disciples were thinking small. What are you going to do for our tribe? What are you going to do for our country? And Jesus says, "Look at the big picture. I didn't come for one tribe or one religion. I came to transform the world." So Jesus wanted all of us to see the big picture. Today we see that Roe versus Wade is likely to be overturned by the Supreme Court. Nobody wants abortions. No woman wants to be faced with that possibility. Instead of punishing and shaming and judging women, instead of men placing more burdens and restrictions on women, we can build a society where abortions are less likely to occur. Already, Obamacare, and Obama never gets credit for this, has significantly reduced the number of abortions in America by providing free birth control to poor women. Other pro-life measures. Other pro-life measures are within our reach. Bishops and pro-life activists should champion policies that really are proven to work, such as universal health care, a generous parental leave, free early childhood education, free pre-K programs. These are all pro-life measures. Recently, the American Rescue Plan gave $300 per month for each child under six, and it gave $250 per month for older kids. The results were incredible. Childhood poverty dropped immediately for millions of kids in this country. These are all pro-life measures that reduce abortions. They also reduce racism, because 71% of children in poverty are Black, Latinx, or Native American. So we need to see the big picture. We need to see the big picture with all the mass shootings, too. The day after Uvalde, Texas massacre of children this week, Amy Durkee, the head of our mental health center, was scheduled to lead prayer for the staff, and she came up to me 5 minutes before the prayer. She said, "Jim, I can't do the prayer. I'm too bummed out by this massacre of kids. Can you take my place?" I didn't want to do it either. I didn't want to pray. What could I say? I was wordless. I was mute. When we can't pray, St. Paul tells us that the Spirit, in groans too deep for words, is able to pray through us. Our deepest prayer is when we groan in desperation and helplessness, and that's when the Spirit takes over and prays through us. Did that ever happen to you, where you just can't pray? Just, you're too bummed out. You're just like, "I got no words. I don't even know what to say to you, God." So I think we've all felt like that. And you, at times like that, you have to let the Spirit pray through you. So we all felt helpless this past week. We heard politicians tell us that they won't do anything about gun control. Or they tell us that teachers need to carry more guns in their classrooms. A great heresy that we don't talk about too much is that we can solve our social problems with violence. That's a big heresy today. You can solve a social problem with violence. But deep down, we all know the truth. In America, we love our guns more than we love our children. We tell children to fend for themselves, go through these drills, hide under the desks, act like you're dead, because don't count on us to protect you. You gotta fend for yourself. Our priority is our guns, not our children. I know a couple who recently adopted a shelter dog, a homeless dog. They had to fill out an extensive application, have background checks. They had two interviews, one in person, one by phone, and letters of reference. Why do they go all through this? To make abuse of animals less likely. But we don't have the same will to pass gun legislation to make shootings of children less likely. We've got to see the big picture. So on Ascension Day, Jesus leaves the world, and he leaves loud. He gives us a big picture. He gives us a strong message. He says, "No, I'm not here to restore the kingdom to Israel. I didn't come to restore the fortunes of one nation. I came to transform all the nations. I didn't come to restore the fortunes of gun manufacturers and the NRA. I came to bring nonviolence to the whole world. I didn't come to restore the fortunes of white supremacists. I came to end racism against people of color." This week, we mark the second anniversary of the murder of George Floyd. In the last 2 years, 230 Confederate monuments and memorials in front of courthouses, college campuses, town squares have been dismantled, hauled away, vandalized, or given new names. Most removals were in Virginia, Texas, and North Carolina. There was even a removal as far away as a Methodist church in Boise, Idaho. A stained glass window had the image of Robert E. Lee for decades in that church. And then the parishioners covered it up with a banner, and they wrote on it, "We repent." And later the window was replaced with an image of the first African-American woman elected as bishop of the United Methodist Church. When Jesus left the world, he lifted up his hand and blessed us, just the way we did give a blessing to Nielsen House this week. Jesus' work was ending, our work was beginning. The torch was being passed. He says, "I am sending the Holy Spirit to clothe you with power from on high, to clothe you." This is a reference to Elisha picking up the mantle of Elijah. He clothed himself with Elijah's mantle so he could carry on Elijah's mission. Jesus believes in us. He believes in us. He's confident of us to carry out his mission. He knows that we can move beyond the status quo that is killing little children in Texas and black people in Buffalo. He knows that we can bring about God's dream for a just and a peaceful world. Ascension means that we are now living in the age of the Holy Spirit. We are clothed with his power. It is a new age of reckoning, of creativity, of new energy, of transformation, of new spiritual vitality. He tells us it's time for his power, which is greater than all the powers of the world, to be in charge. Amen.